Faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That's the real fear, brothers and sisters, that we ought to have. Not fear of COVID-19, not fear of what they may say about us or think about us or even do to us. Fear of the second death. Trust in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Be wise, be prudent, be diligent, yes. Be cautious, yes. But do not, above all, do not be fearful. No matter what. Behold, the Lord says, I'm for you. I am with you. Always. Even to the end of days. Let's sing a hymn. Hymn from 357. 357.
Turns all martyrs' shadows.
to you who belong to heaven, according to the will of God, according to the promise that is in Christ Jesus. To you, dearly beloved sons and daughters of the living God, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Heavenly Father, we rejoice. We rejoice to be in thy presence on this, the Lord's day that thou hast set aside for us, to rejoice and be glad there and to worship thee in spirit and in truth, according to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless each and every one of us in the inner man, as it is said by the Apostle, that thou would draw nigh to us as we draw nigh to thee, that thou would bless thy people in thy presence, who are desiring, probably with a stronger desire than before, to gather in worship before you on this, the Lord's day. These things we say, these things we pray, in the beautiful name of Jesus, who taught his very own to pray and say,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let's now take hymnal in hand and turn to Psalm 1, which is found on page 785. Read through this psalm responsibly. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does prospers.
Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thanks be to God that we are the righteous made so by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now turn further in the hymn. First to question 31, which is on page 871. Question 31 on page 871. Ask, what is effectual calling?
Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds to the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel.
And then flip a couple of pages to page 875, and at the bottom of the page find questions 86 and 87. Question 86 asks, what is faith in Jesus Christ?
Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace, whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel.
And question 87 asks, what is repentance unto life?
Repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and intent.
ever after, new obedience.
Congregation, great. Great answers to those very important questions. You'll hear more about it in the message this morning, but right now I'd like for us to pray. We'll begin with a brief reading. This is from Isaiah. When John the Baptist was to send his disciples to ask Jesus, is he the one or should we expect another? Jesus quoted from Isaiah, this prophecy, to convince John that the fulfillment of the prophecy was at hand. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim to the captives liberty, to the opening and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Almighty God, who's poured upon us the new light of thine incarnate word, grant that that same light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth in our lives. Heavenly Father, that we would show to this world every day that our dependence for joy, peace, comfort comes from you. That we rest our lives, even the lives of our loved ones, on what you say in your word. We ask, Heavenly Father, that thou would forgive us our weaknesses, our sins, our compromises, especially when it comes to this world. We ask, Father, that thou would be pleased to strengthen us within, that we might show forth the praises of him with whom we have to do every day in every way, that we would take up every opportunity that thou dost grant us to bear witness to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in word and in deed. We're thankful to be here this morning. We're thankful that thou hast brought healing to many of us who have contracted this COVID-19 virus and have been sick for a time. Some of us greatly, like Elder Hastings, who still is suffering from. We know that John and Amy are still weak and weakened from. And there are others at home that are suffering or just getting over from the sickness, or the ill effects that this virus had. We're thankful that some of us here, a number of us, have had it, who have been exposed to it, and are well. We're thankful that Catherine is here with the babe. Brian and Catherine are rejoicing over this newborn babe. And so are we. Just thankful to you, Father, for answering prayer in this regard and bringing that babe, a healthy baby, into this world. And we are praying that the soul is of this baby is just is as healthy as the body, more healthy than the body, for that soul is blessed with thy spirit. There is heaviness among several in the congregation, especially the Holmes family. Think of them who lost a loved one, Tom, who is rejoicing in your presence now, finally free from the pain that he was suffering, the agonies he was going through, not just from COVID-19, but even much before that. Was challenged every day. No more. Challenge each and every day, if we can call it that, it's always day in heaven, is to rejoice in your presence with the angels. Becoming like one of them in our soul existence. I'm thankful for the comfort that we have, believing the promise that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in him never dies. We're also praying for the Regis family at this time, for Christina in particular, whose loved one relative had lost a child in a fire. What a devastating thing that is. How to deal with that? How to make sense of it? Not that sense or reason can comfort. Therefore, we pray that thy Spirit would comfort them at this time, that thou would visit them, visit upon them, and thou would open their eyes to see the glories of heaven. Even now, though just getting a glimpse of heavenly things, and the comfort that shall be with us all who trust in you, in your dear Son, for salvation. Again, Father, we are thankful to be here. Keep us well. Protect us. Most important, from the evil one and from the world that so much does his bidding. Keep us, especially our young people, from the temptations that are all around them. In Jesus' name we pray these things. With thanksgiving. Amen.
It's not just my views, it's the views of many about
about John chapter 3. I'm not going to be able to say everything, because I want to focus on one thing in the main, and that is the right fight. But before I get to that, let's hear the Word of God from the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Hear now God's wonderful word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born which, when he is old, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." May God bless the reading of his precious word. And yes, Heavenly Father, prosper to our souls this day. For we are here to worship, and we are here to hear from you, your word read and preached upon. And we pray these things be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. In an article I read in Standard Bearer by Reverend Brian Huizinga, those Dutch names, had two questions at the head of his article that he asked that I'd like to draw upon throughout this message. Then the first question is, are you born again? Am I born again? It's a good question to ask, especially about young people. I'll get to that when it comes. And the second question is even more important, or just as important. How do you know? Anyone can say, "Yeah, I'm born again." Well, how do you know? And that's, those two questions form the basis for my two main points. The question itself, or the questions themselves, and the answer itself. That's the two points I have. But under the two points, I have a number of sub-points. I want to talk about being born again. I want to talk about the mystery of that. I want to talk to our youth, our young people, not just our young people at Calvary Church, but to young people in general. And I want to talk about baptism and baptize the infants. What about them? And then the answer is going to talk about the evidences or the fruit that we ought to expect. What the fruit is not. And I don't know if you'll be surprised at what it's not, maybe, may not be. I think you probably would know it. Almost spiritually, instinctively, you would know when I say what it's not, you would agree wholeheartedly that it cannot be just that. you and I are not the man. Try and teach my granddaughter, Poppy's the man, but actually it's not. We know who the man is, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So I want to talk about the proper fight. The fight. A dead head is attached to a dead body, right? If Jesus is
a dead head, then the body's dead. But if he's a live head, then the body's alive. Okay, so what's that about? And then finally, the war within us. Under all that's under the answer that I'm going to give us. So there's a number of things to go through, and I'm going to go through them briefly, because I think that when you hear these points and subpoints, they will be readily understood. So first then, obviously, Jesus is talking about being born again. Now, theologians have termed that regeneration. And what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 3, he's talking about regeneration in the narrowest sense, the theological narrowest sense, where it's the implanting of the Spirit of God in the elect individual that was once dead, but now made alive through this implanting of the Spirit, if you will, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in that person. Now, obviously, the planting of the Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person is not the work of the person. It's not according to his will. It's not according to his work. It doesn't have anything to do with him. This is totally and absolutely the work of amazing grace, the work of the grace, the sovereign grace of God. It cannot be other than that. Regeneration, being born again, is the work of God, exclusively the work of God, and not of man. And so, it is an important question when we ask ourselves and others, especially young people, not all young people, are you regenerate? Are you born again? Do you have the implanting of the Holy Spirit in you? How do you know? Well, most of the time when I go to get a haircut, I think I'm going to get it this week or next. Anyway, I come home, and my wife, sometimes my kids, "Oh, you got a haircut. It's noticeable, right?" I know I got a haircut. They know I got a haircut. How do you know? Well, because, it was unshapely before, it was overgrown, it didn't look right, and then all of a sudden you come back and it's shorter, it's all even, it's, it just doesn't happen, right? Someone cut the hair. You know when you get a hair. You know when you eat, right? You're hungry, and you go and have a plate of food before you, and you eat it down, you have the experience of eating it, the taste of it. If you don't have COVID-19, I know that you lose taste from that, some do. But eventually, hopefully, all your taste buds will return to you. But you taste it, and it feels good, and you, in just a little bit, you get strengthened from it. You feel refreshed. But that doesn't work with regeneration, does it? You can't feel regenerated. You don't feel it like in the morning I like to have my coffee, and I drink my coffee down, and it feels warm in the throat, and it goes down, and it feels warm and all the way into the belly there. No one says when they're being regenerated or have been regenerated that I felt the Spirit going into me like a warm, delightful drink going, flowing down into my body, into my stomach, warming me, going into the depths of my very existence and infusing me with a new will and new qualities, spiritual qualities. I felt the surging of the Spirit come upon me. It's not true. No one experiences regeneration. Right? It's like trying to describe when you were born. Baby born. That baby's not going to be able to describe what it's like, what it was like being born. It was born. Obviously born. The mother knows it. Father knows it. We know it. But the baby cannot really describe its birth. What it went through. How it felt going through the canal, the birth canal, and came out into the light in the room, in the hospital room, and it doesn't explain, it doesn't know that. It's more, you're probably more capable of explaining your birth than your rebirth. It's simply not the case. We do not know the rebirth when it's happening. There's no feeling attached to it. There's no warmth of soul. You say, well, I think there is. No, there isn't. We'll talk about that, what you experience in a moment. But the rebirth is an amazing mystery. Now listen to what Jesus said. And here is where people mistake his meaning sometimes. In John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows where it listeth, or where it goes. Thou hearest the sound, but cannot tell whence it comes, or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, oftentimes people relate that mysterious, if you were blowing in and blowing out of the wind to the Spirit, and certainly the Spirit and the work of the Spirit is mysterious. But that's not what Jesus says here, is it? He doesn't compare the Spirit to the wind. Listen. The wind blows. Very well. You hear it, but you can't tell where it came from or where it's going. So is every one born of the Spirit. Every one, not the Spirit is the wind. You, the regenerate one, the one who has been born again, is compared to the wind. What has happened to you is a mystery. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. Oh yes, theologically, from the Word of God, objectively, you can say, well, I know it came from God. The Spirit comes from God. You don't know why you don't know when, you don't know exactly how that worked. And you certainly don't know where you're going, where the Spirit's bringing you. Objectively, and scripturally, you know that you are going to heaven. But you don't know where heaven is. You don't know what it's going to be like to be sinless in heaven and be like an angel. You don't know what Tom is going through right now exactly. You just don't know. You don't know regeneration. You don't know born again, where it comes from, where it goes. Theologically, you know, yes, it's the Spirit. But how that works is a mystery. Like the wind blowing in and blowing out, coming from who knows where, going to who knows where. You are compared to the wind. Not in this case, not the Spirit. In other words, you born again believer are mysteriously saved, regenerated. That is a mystery. A wonderful mystery, but a mystery nonetheless. So I want you to pick up on that, that it's you that's compared, and what's going on with you being born again that's compared to the wind, not the Spirit. Although the Spirit is mysterious, and His work is mysterious. Another point that comes up is our young people. It's good to ask a young person, have you been born again? And how do you know? It's not good to keep on asking believers, are you sure you've been regenerated? Are you sure you've been born again? That casts a shadow of doubt upon a person, and that is unhealthy to do. But for a young person who is just coming up the ranks, so to speak, it's good to ask that young person, are you regenerated? To have them think about it, to have them ponder, consider what this is, what it means. And to be able to teach them light from this passage, from John chapter 3, and show them how Jesus' teaching works, the way it works. And have them ponder fresh and anew, am I regenerated? Am I born again? It's also very good to consider the very young, or infants, toddlers, who really can't ponder this question or these questions yet. But it's good to know that why we baptize, why we treat our infants and our toddlers as if they're regenerated, as if they've been born again. It's not because of our presumption that we'd like to presume it, we'd like to believe it, because not all infants will grow up to be saints. It's good to ask the question because we base baptism not on someone's profession. We never do that. Not in the Reformed faith, we don't do that. You don't base baptism on someone's profession because a person can lie. Can lie to himself, can lie to others, could be doing it sort of as a team effort, like, you know, all the kids at this age are going to get together and come up front and get baptized, I'm going to do, you know, whatever the reason, that's not why we baptize anyone, because of someone's profession. Or even behavior. We baptize because of the promise of God. That God promises, I will save you and your seed to 1,000 generations. I will save you and your household. I will save you and your children. It's because of the promise of God. We know that God saves children as children. The psalmist says that. Jeremiah says that. John the Baptist was saved. Timothy was saved from John. I mean, all kinds of people in the Bible. We know that God saves children as children. According to what? Their profession? Or their parents' vows? No. He saves children according to His promise that I am going to save you and your children. Not head for head, because obviously the scriptures show that people from the same family, some are saved and some aren't. And we all have had that experience. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is that God saves children as children, and He saves them from the womb, and it was shortly thereafter, sometimes a little later. That baptism is never tied to the moment that a person's baptized, or very rarely is it tied to the moment, if ever. Right? A person's eye was saved long before he's been baptized, or perhaps long after he's been baptized. It's never tied to the moment. But it's tied to the promise. God says, I'm a God to you and you. Therefore, you baptize, or you circumcise in the Old Testament. Not everyone circumcised was a true Israelite. Not everyone baptized. And so, because we know that God promises to save children, and God has elect children, just as He has elect older people, they are His, it's good to ask the child when he or she grows to a certain point, are you regenerated? And if they show no interest in the things of God, they ought to be put out of the church. Then it shows up. So that's why this question, based on this passage, you know, these questions are good. We don't presume people are saved. Whether they're infants or toddlers or 13-year-olds or 23-year-olds, whatever. We don't assume people are saved. We don't presume it. That's not how it works. We don't base it on profession. We base it on promise, on God's promise. So it is good to ask young people, and particularly babies that have been baptized, to ask them later on, are you regenerated? Are you been born? Have you been born again? And how do you know? So now we come to the question, the answer to the question, how do you know? How do you know that you have been regenerated? Well, think about the wind. How do we know the wind is around? We know the wind is around from its effects, right? We don't see it. We don't know where it came from or where it's going, but we know the wind's around from its effects, right? There's evidence, if you will. There's the moving of leaves, the swaying of branches, the whipping of flags, the whistling sound of the wind, the roaring sound of the storm. We know the wind by its effects. Similarly, we know that a person has been reborn, has been regenerated by evidence. Regeneration itself is a mystery. Don't know where the Spirit comes from and where the Spirit's going. It's a mystery. Comes to us whenever. There's no feeling or sensation or thrill going up and down the spine or warm feeling or cold, whatever. There's none of that. It's a mystery. But there are evidences. Now you say, well, how about Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road? He was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And he was a terrible sinner. He was convinced and convicted by the Holy Spirit. Again, that's not regeneration or the experience of regeneration. That is the effect of regeneration. The conviction is the effect of it. You who have been regenerated are affected. You who have been born again are affected. You're convicted. You're convinced. You're persuaded. The Word of God leaps off the page and becomes alive to you. It's all the effects of regeneration. What is the evidence? What is the main evidence that I have been born again? Again, this might, may or may not be a surprise. I've been baptized. Not just as I'm a believer baptized, you know. I've been baptized when I was 16 years old. 20 years old, what? That's not an evidence. Anybody can be baptized, right? Don't have to be regenerated to be baptized. Well, I know how to sing the hymns. I know the hymns, the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs. I know many of them by heart. I sing them all the time. An unbeliever could do that too. I mean, some of these unbelievers that sing the Christmas songs during Christmas time, they sing some of the hymns beautifully sung, are not believers. But they sing the songs as if they are, or if they weren't. You don't have to be a believer to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, do you? Well, I went through catechism class. I went through training, membership training class. I made a profession of faith. I partook of Holy Communion. Again, these are all activities that are part of a healthy believer's life, but you don't have to believe. These outward things can be performed just as well by an unbeliever. I don't know how many people that reject the Bible that are excellent scholars of the Bible. They know the faith. They know the Reformed faith better than I do, for sure. Much better than I do. They know the Hebrew and the Greek inside and out. They know the language. They know a lot more than you or I. And they don't believe. These outward things, although they pertain to a healthy Christian life, these activities, going to church, praying, reading the scripture, singing the psalms and the hymns with thanksgiving, being baptized, partaking of the Lord's Supper, it's all part, but these are not evidences that you've been regenerated. So what is? What is this main evidence that you're talking about? Before I get to that answer, which I know you're waiting for, and it's going to be very easy to understand, say you have I don't know, what subject is a challenge to most people? Math. Right? But I've gotten better in math. Is it because I've been regenerated? No. It's not why you get better in math. It's because of disciplined training, practice, that affects that part of the brain, that processing part of the brain that does mathematical formulations. It's not regeneration that improves your mathematical skills or your scientific skills or your language skills or any skills. You know, once I was shy and very withdrawn. You believe that? Now I'm outgoing. That's because of regeneration. No, it's not. I could not speak in public before. I really couldn't. I was just like, and it's frozen. So nervous. Still nervous, but not like that, not like before. Very, very difficult. Practice. See, regeneration doesn't change your mathematical skills, your brain skills there. It doesn't change your personality. It doesn't change your physique. It doesn't change anything about you. So how do you know? It's not becoming a member. It's not going through catechism class or training. What is it then? That is the evidence, the main evidence of regeneration, of being born again. The evidence, as one writer put it here, of regeneration is that you fight. That you fight. That is the evidence that you have been born again. That you're willing to fight. You know you are regenerated, born again, from above, with the life of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, if you fight. Now, what is this this writer talking about? Fight, you know, physical fight? It's obviously a spiritual fighting he's talking about. Well, what is that? What does that look like? It's a fight against sin. People that do not care about their sin, that do not want to repent of whatever sin it is, who do not fight on a daily basis by faith and by repentance, are not saved. They are not regenerated. No matter what they know, no matter what they say, no matter who says what about them, that is the main evidence that I have been born again. Because I fight against sin, especially my own sin. Yes, I fight against the sin of the lie, of false doctrine. I fight against false doctrine. I fight for the Church of Jesus Christ, the Kingdom of God on earth, with my all and all. But most of all, I fight against my own sin, that I sin again and again and again. Repeatedly I sin and repeatedly I fight. Every day it's a fight. The fight of faith and the fight of repentance. And if you're not willing, if you're not willing to fight against your own sin, not just the sin of others, yes, that too, but your own sin, and fight against false doctrine, and fight against false churches, and fight against Satan and this wickedness that's in society, but especially the wickedness that's in you, you are not saved. You are not born again. That's what Jesus is teaching here. The mystery of regeneration. The effect is like the wind. And that effect causes you to fight against your own sin. Not to be sinless. There's a desire to be perfect, and we are perfect in principle, but not in practice. But that's why we have to fight against it, because we want to be perfect. We want to be sinless. And every day that desire, because the Spirit is in me, to will and do of God's good pleasure, I want to be pleasing to God. And my sin doesn't please Him. My bad attitude, the fact that I despise you because you disagree with me over this COVID-19 business.
Amen.
I don't despise my brethren for anything. I may disagree and disagree wholeheartedly with you about this or that, but my attitude should never be condemnatory towards my own brother or sister. Mm-hmm. That's my sin. That's my bad attitude. And I want to push it far from me. I have that attitude too. I have that problem. I have a problem with all of you. I don't agree with any of you about this thing. Not one of you do like that. I don't agree with my own family for sure. They know that. And I don't agree with any of you about it. But I don't hate you. I love you. Because I'm fighting that attitude that blinds me, that says I am better than you are, that I care, and that you don't, because I have whatever, I have it right and you have it wrong, or something like that. No. Regeneration means that I fight. And I fight against my sin. And if there's no fight, there's no faith. Person that says, I'm saved because I've been baptized, whatever they've been baptized, or I made a profession, or I come to church twice on Sunday, but doesn't change his or her life one whit, that goes out and lives just like the world, especially young people who make the who are baptized, they come to the altar, so to speak, and they get baptized as a group, and then they go out together and they rejoice about that, and they and then they go and live a bad lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle, into the same sins that the world, they identify more with the world than with other Christians, cannot be saved. No fight, no faith. Mm-hmm. And the fight appears first within yourself. The war within yourself. There's a tension. There's a war within. When we're here, there's a war within. The war, you know, Mr. Holmes, his war's over. Our war's not. It's still raging. Remember I said that Jesus is not the head of a dead body? A body that's dead doesn't fight. A body that's alive fights for life. Fights for eternal life. Fights for spiritual life. Because a live head creates a live body. Calvary Church is a live church because we are connected to a live head, which is Jesus Christ. And we fight. Mm-hmm. Yes, we fight doctrinally. We fight for the church, which is the kingdom of God on earth. We fight for each other, the integrity of each other. We fight for, we defend one another. No matter what, yes, we can say to each other this, that, criticize, but we don't want another person to criticize our church, Calvary Church, or any of the people here. We fight for that. But most of all, we fight in ourselves. Because the sin within sets us back. Mm-hmm. It disgraces and besmirches the name of Christ. Mm-hmm. It disgraces other Christians. Disgraces the name of the church and the name of Jesus Christ above all. Brothers and sisters, yes, I can say I am born again. I have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. I don't know exactly when and how that works and where I'm going. And I'm going to heaven, but I don't know exactly what that's like. I can't explain the whole thing. But I know He's in me, and I know I'm born again because I fight. And I will not stop until I die. With my last breath, Will I fight for the truth, and for the Reformed creeds, and for the faith, and for the Church of Jesus Christ, and against my sin, especially against my sin.
Amen.
Would you agree to fight for what's right, the proper fight, the biblical fight, the spiritual fight against sin, Satan, and this world, particularly, especially your own? Praise Him from whom all blessings flow. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the new birth. Yes, giving us the birth. I mean, just a little baby here is just been born, and we praise you for that, Lord. It's so good. It reminds us of that we have all been given birth, and given birth twice. Physical birth and a spiritual birth. And that we pray for each and every one here, a member and a friend of Calvary Church, that we're all born again believers, born from the power above that comes onto us, and that we will show evidence more and more of that through fighting the proper fight, faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name only. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 308. Hymn 308. Give us a minute, Diane, to get there. He's all ready to go. And we want to rise up to sing this hymn. 308. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and God the Father, the communion and fellowship of the Spirit be upon you all now and forever, world without an end. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Go in the joy of the Holy Spirit, dear people.